In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us begin this New Year's Eve service in thanksgiving and prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we, your children, have gathered here before your unperishing word, we have many reasons to thank you. We thank you for all the blessings that you have given unto us in this past and ending year. We have been slow to remember. We have been slow to remember of your gracious hand that has protected and guided, that has given those things that we need and many things more. So as we close this year, we desire to thank you for protecting us, your children. And we even ask, as we close this year, that you would even give of your word this evening for the strengthening of this begun faith, for the honor and glory of thy holy name. And so we, your children, yet turn to thee in that prayer that we have been taught by our Lord Jesus, your Son, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This evening we will read from the Psalms. We will read in Jesus' name the 121st Psalm, a psalm that has been set aside for this Sunday, or this New Year's, or this New Year's Eve day, when we remember the things of the past year and we look forward to the days to come or the moments to come. None of us know what tomorrow will bring, but we can even look at the forecast and it is looking like it's going to warm up a bit. But so on this frigid and cold New Year's Eve, let us pause before God's word with that hope that God could find a place in our heart that is in need of his holy word. In Jesus' name, we will pause before these words. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The sun shall preserve thee from all evil, or the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. We heard from our dear brother this morning so preciously about the Spirit of God and how it is as children of God we want to live and journey as we every day are getting closer to that time when this life will end. This past year, as we reflect on the things that have passed by, there are some that do not sit here in the benches with us that began the year gathering around God's Word. For them, they have reached the promised land. There are some of us or you that have experienced difficult moments in the last year. And I'm sure there is, for some of you, you have wondered or pondered in those difficult times that how will this work out? And perhaps it has been some time now for you that you have forgotten about those difficult moments. And as those moments have passed, you're probably very similar to me, and that I have forgotten about them, and I have forgot to thank God that He made a way. I didn't realize it. But as I look back, I can see the work of God. This text reminds us about our God, that He never sleeps and He never slumbers. He's always watching for us. We don't, at least I don't. I'm not always on guard. I live from day to day as you. I sometimes thought as a young boy that when I came to the services of God's children, I sat on the bench and I listened to the servant that had been called to serve. And I had some idea that he was probably his life of faith was probably much easier than my own. And perhaps, but if that servant was anything as I have come to realize that our journey of faith is no different for each traveler. We're all beset by difficulties and trials. For God loves us. And He wants us to make it to heaven. And it is so that maybe it would be so that if we things always went so perfectly well and easy, that would we have a need? Would there be a longing for a better place. And I can say that, honestly, this evening as I sit before you, there's no place that I would rather be than a member of the household of the kingdom of God. This is where I want to be. This is where I want to dwell. And I'm sure it is for you that it is your thoughts of your own heart, that this is the people that I want to dwell with. These are the people that I want to journey with. These are the people that God has chosen. Could you, dear brother or sister, could you come up with a list of people that you would rather journey with? Where would you begin? Here are the children of God. Here are the people that can help us reach the promised land of heaven. We haven't chosen them, but God has. We didn't choose God, but God chose us. And we can be thankful, and we should be thankful. We haven't done anything to deserve it. We remember from God's holy word, the children of Israel as they were camped there on the east side of the Jordan River. And we remember the servant of God, Joshua, as he spoke to the people before they crossed the river. And God gave him the words to speak unto the children of Israel. And he says, I'm not giving you this land because of your own righteousness, because you have been so good, but because God has been gracious. We haven't deserved it. We haven't earned it. But God has given it to us as a gift. This psalm which we have read speaks to us about our God. And I know I've said this before, but it comes to my mind again as I sit here this evening, about how it was when one traveler here in this kingdom of God is working side by side there with another person of this world. Another person created by God. We're all created by God. And so it was in the course of their working. They visited about many things, I would guess. I don't know. But as they visited this other person who was not a believer, but yet a person created by God. And all God's created people have a longing for eternity. But this person turned to the believer, even though they were not talking at all about matters of faith or eternity or anything that had to do with faith. But this unbelieving person noticed this light. And they asked, or even said, not asked, but said, that it seems like you have a different God. There's only one God, one true God. But there's only one way that we can worship God truthfully, and that is with His Spirit. The Bible says about God that God is a Spirit. And they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That is how the children of God desire to worship God. We don't make God according to our own ways or our own minds or our own thoughts, for that would be a corrupted and polluted way to believe. God is perfect. We don't need to improve on God. We don't need to change Him according to the way we want to believe or think. We can just worship God in spirit and truth. It's a simple way. It's not complicated. It's not confusing. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. And so the God that we worship here in the kingdom of God, we have come to the services of God's children many times through this past year. Have you come here to hear about a different God? Or have you come here to learn of that same God? That unchanging God. That you can build upon. That you can plan around, your life around. You can raise your family and teach your children about that unperishing and all-knowing God. That He knows everything about you. He knows about your struggles, your trials, your difficulties. So as we end this year of 2017, when we think of those that have reached the Promised Land, that began this year with us, that have been able to close their eyes to this life, here on this cold winter day when we've gathered around the fires of God's Word, those ones have, they're resting securely and warmly on the bosom of Abraham. Yesterday, was I was going about my day, I woke up and it was cold. And I was outside and I noticed it was many degrees below zero, but one of the buildings that's south-facing is facing toward the sun. It had snowed a little bit. Must have been the day before, or maybe through the evening. And I noticed as I looked at the roof there was steam coming from the roof. The snow was melting, even on that cold winter day, many degrees below zero. That is how the grace of God works in us. Oftentimes, I come here to the services of God's children with so many doubts. My heart feels so cold. But here where the truth of God's Word is spoken, it says the sun reaching that cold roof begins to slowly melt the frost away. And God, through His Spirit, can encourage me towards the promised land of heaven. This life is as a journey. We oftentimes hear that we speak about the way and the journey here in the kingdom of God. There's many blessings on this way to heaven. Oftentimes it is for me, and I don't know if it's the same for you. I don't so much spend a whole lot of time thinking about the things that are going well. I oftentimes find myself thinking about the things that are not so well. But we have many more reasons to think about all the blessings that God has bestowed on us as children. He's given us our families. These escorts that sit beside you here this evening. Our children. The kingdom of God. These escorts that can help us, encourage us towards the mark there in heaven. I oftentimes think of this journey as in the same frame as maybe a little vacation or a little trip, how it is that when we began this journey, it is with joy and great anticipation. But how it is that even through the hours and the moments of travel, we become impatient and we forget about the destination. And when we forget about the destination, somehow or another, the things at hand become more important. The struggles, the arguments, the disagreements. But how it is here as we travel that we come to the services of God's children, where God, as though it seems, puts fuel in the tank, gives us another glimpse of heaven, and we're set free then again with that hope of heaven, with joy in our hearts. This portion of God's word which we have read this morning begins, it says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. I'm not certain exactly what the writer here is referring to, but he says, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills or the high places. That is where our strength comes from in this journey of faith. It comes from God, who sits on high, that doesn't sleep, he doesn't slumber. But every day he looks out for us, his children. Even you that may be sitting here this evening wondering that, am I important to God? You are. Every one of you is. God made each one of us for eternity. And he made a way that we can reach the promised land, the eternal shore of heaven. And that is through the name and blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus. One of the other texts for this Sunday is from the Apostle Peter's letter. I think it was from the first letter of Peter. Where Peter writes about how we as the children of God have love for each other, and it's not fake or it's not feigned, it's true and it's pure. That we want to help each other make it to heaven. And the devil would want us to think that, well, there's certain things that we shouldn't say because it might upset someone. But is that how the truth of God's word speaks unto us? Should we not say something if that's what we need to say? How does that help someone if there's something that we should say and we don't say it?
But here in the kingdom of God, there's this love of brethren, that we love one another with a pure heart, fervently. As we heard from our dear brother this morning, where God, through the servant this morning, spoke unto us about being watchful in this life and this faith. Because at the end, what matters? Does it matter how many blessings that God has given you? Does it matter at the end of this life that how many vacations you went on? How many wonderful things you've been able to experience? It doesn't. The only thing that matters at the end of this life is there still faith? Is God's Spirit still guiding the heart and soul? That is the only thing that matters at the end. And so we know that Peter, who had been burned, we can say, by sin, he felt the pain of sin. He even felt the sin of unbelief. And remember about Peter that when he had denied the Lord, how he realized what he had done. And he felt remorse over that sin. That's how it is for us, God's children. When we fall into sin, there should be remorse over that sin. And then that remorse leads us unto the grace fountain. To another believer that can preach the gospel message unto us, to free us from those sins that we have done. But we know how Peter, when he had denied the Lord, the Bible says that he went out and wept bitterly. I like to think about that time in Peter's life that he went to speak to the other disciples about what had happened to him there on that cold morning. I don't know how it is for you, dear brothers and sisters, but I think about that portion of scriptures from, I think it's from the 9th chapter of Mark, I'm not certain, about that man that was struggling with some very difficult matters in his family. He had one son that was some type of epilepsy or what it was, but nonetheless, his son had some great difficult matter. And he had brought this son to the disciples and asked his disciples if they could help him. And the disciples were not able to cure this man's son. And then Jesus happened upon this conversation or this happening. And he asked that, what is the issue or what's going on? And this man had told Jesus that, I had brought my son to your disciples and they couldn't help him. Maybe we should read if I can find that portion of scriptures. And this man had told Jesus that if you can't help either, just have compassion on me. On us, I think, is what he had said. From the 9th chapter of Mark, it says in this way, and it says, they brought him to Jesus, or he brought him to Jesus, and he asked his father, says, how long ago it since this came unto him? Of course, we know that Jesus knew specifically and how long this man's son had been sick here. But so it was that this Jesus just asked him this question, and this man says that oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And so Jesus then told him, he says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible unto him that believeth. We know, dear brothers and sisters, that unto God all things are possible. And so it was that Jesus told this man that, he says, if thou wilt believe, that all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. But then in the same breath he says, help thou mine unbelief. I don't know if you, dear brothers and sisters, are different than I, but I certainly want to believe. But I find how it is that so oftentimes and so quickly sin and my own doubts come into my own mind. And that is why I need to come to the services of God's children. That is why I need to turn to my dear spouse at the end of the day and ask that, can I still believe? Lord, help thou mine unbelief. I want to make it to heaven. I don't know if you're different than I, but I sincerely want to believe. I want to see the promised land of heaven. I don't know what it's going to be like, but I know what it's like to have difficult things, to be worried about things, to struggle with things. And certainly I know what it's like to have joy. And I certainly know what it's like to have the blessings of this life. And I'd much rather prefer the blessings than the sorrow or the difficulties. But in heaven, there's nothing that brings sorrow. There's only joy and peace and righteousness. That is why we are traveling towards the promised land of heaven. That is why we need to hear the gospel. That is why God gave us ways to put sin away, so that we don't need to experience any more sorrow or difficulty beyond this life. Those brothers and sisters that had once traveled here with us, that have reached the promised land, they don't experience anything of sorrow. They're at peace, waiting for the last day when Jesus comes to this life and to this earth again to gather his own to the shore of heaven. So as we close this year and we look forward to the year of 2018, maybe it'll be, if there is one more year, maybe it will be that we will be one of those that will be resting warmly there on the bosom of Abraham. We don't know. But what we do know is today, at this moment, you can believe. You can believe all of your sins forgiven. In the name and blood of Jesus. You can close this year of 2017 successfully. But another year has passed. My name is yet written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There in heaven. Be joyful. Be encouraged. Be emboldened. As we look forward to the new year. With joy and peace in your heart. That is how I also want to close this year of 2017. There's been many joys and many blessings, but there's been many doubts, especially today for me. Can I still believe? Can I believe my sins for you? I want to believe. I want to journey with you. I want to reach the promised land as those that began this year with us. Be comforted, dear brothers and sisters. Be joyful. God, who never sleeps and never slumbers, He's guiding His kingdom. He knows about the things we all struggle with. He knows about the things that have been difficult here for us in the kingdom of God. We can put all our cares, all our worries on Him. He can handle it. He can handle everything that's difficult for us. He has made us, and He's made a way to heaven for you. As poor and unsuccessful as you may be, there's a way to heaven for you. Through the name and blood of Jesus. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, from this time forth, even forevermore. We're in a good kingdom, dear brothers and sisters. Here is where God is. Here is where His Spirit dwells. Here is where we want to be. Until the day that God calls us away from this life unto eternity. Be comforted, be joyful, dear brothers and sisters. Believe your sins forgiven. In the name and blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. I also, dear brothers and sisters, want to thank you for remembering me and my family at this time of year when we remember each other with cards and letters. And it's been nice for me to open those cards and see the greetings from each one of you. And if you didn't receive our card, it's not that we don't remember you, but we remember you all, and we thank you, each and every one of you, for remembering me and my family during this time of Christmas. Let us close this service in the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father,
and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.